man, the views of the John LeBay Show, man, aren't necessarily the views of Alien X Radio or their sponsors, man.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the John LeBang Show, your hour of high-speed information in a low-intelligence world.
Smartphones, dumb people, and family disorder
are just some of the things we'll be discussing tonight, right here on Alien X Radio.
Resistance is futile. Your life, as it has been, is over. From this time forward, you will service us.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
I'm gonna get my butt and go over there and miss some blood.
Welcome to the only hour that causes chronic brain cell rejuvenation. I'm your host, John LeBang, recovering from the election hangover. The Republicans won the Senate in a landslide victory. Big deal. Do you really think anything is going to change? Do you actually think the Republicans will repeal Obamacare? What about the Patriot Act? Is that all of a sudden going to be gutted? Are we going to halt our foreign aid? Our policing of the world? Or the NSA spying? Probably not. Most of the country didn't even show up to vote. So why should anything at all improve? It's a clear signal to the powers that be that only a small percentage of the people in the country even care what's going on inside the halls of government. And even smaller percentage of them are nonpartisan or well-informed. Most of the people who vote have always voted the same way, will always vote the same way, and are a useful idiot for whatever party they support. And of the people who sat out the election, you know who you are. If you're not one of the mind-numbed droidiots out there, you know, the ones that have to be entertained every second of the day because they're one brain cell short of a brain. That's why we have smartphones, people. You knew that, right? It's to entertain the stupid people. It's to keep them occupied. It's like a life hack for a moron. That's why they put those backup cameras and those sensors in the new cars. It's for people that have trouble with simple tasks in life. Thinking is very hard for some people. I was at Target a while back, and for those of you in uppity America, that's Target, the retail store, okay? Just so you know. So I went in there to pick up some burnable CDs. I grabbed one of those, you know, ready-baked breads and some other damn thing, and the total came out to be like 10.03. So I gave the clerk $11, and ding, 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 he puts it in the register and proceeds to count up the change in his drawer, and then I remembered I had a dime. So I pulled it out of my pocket and handed it to him. Well, you would have thought I presented this gentleman with an equation of the cosmos. He just stood there, and after about 30 seconds, I said, just give me $1 back and 7 cents, and we're all good. You know, I felt bad for him. I even wonder how he got the job. You know, I thought, well, maybe he's stoned at work. But if you can't figure out simple math when you're stoned, you probably shouldn't be getting stoned. Mm-hmm. You really don't have the surplus of brain cells in the first place, dude. Now, you people who didn't vote, but consider yourself informed, you know who you are. The
your vote doesn't count crowd.
You're right. Your vote doesn't count. It doesn't count because you don't use it, dude. But oh, you'll find time to bellyache about this and about that. You'll moan, whine, caterwaul, grump, grumble, nag, gripe, fuss, yowl, and whinge about every little subject. But when it comes to making a difference, you'll cower in silence. Like I said last week, folks, in the next 2 years, we're going to find out what everybody is made of. And let the chips fall where they may. That's all. You know, I went on a road rally last night. Our team consisted of my mother, my sister Michelle, and my brother Brian. And myself, of course. Not exactly NASA's top scientists here, I'll tell you that. But my family has this thing about doing things together. To pretend that we're still close after all these years. Because holidays aren't enough of a headache already, that we have to find more ways to annoy each other. So, because I was the last to arrive at the starting location, I was nominated, along with my younger brother, to do the first challenge, which was tying a Kleenex box around my waist and jumping around until 4 ping pong balls fell out, giving us our first clue. So get this picture. Here's a 45-year-old fat guy, me, jumping up and down, bouncing side to side, wiggling my gluteus maximus, trying to get these balls to fall out. Meanwhile, my other balls were about to fall off. They're up here yelling, hey dude, if we're not having sex, we really don't want to be bouncing around. So finally, the balls come out, and we start running to the car. Which at 45, I outran my brother, who's 10 years younger than me and in better shape, which is pretty funny. So we get to the car, and my sister takes off! No clue to where we're going, where we have to be, where our first objective was, but off we go. Her plan is to get to my mom's house and pick up canned food, because that'll give us some extra points at the end, and because we all know how bad we suck, we're gonna need those extra points. So while we are driving, there's nothing I can do. The car's bouncing around, we're in the dark, and I'm half blind. It's not like I'm gonna be reading the clues at this time. So it takes a few minutes to get there. So we get to my mom's house, and I jump out of the car and run to grab the 2 bags of canned food, which they probably should have brought beforehand. That would have saved us a few minutes. I go to run in, boom, I run into the door. It's locked. The door's locked. My mom's husband's home, but the door's locked. So here comes my mom, 65 years old, running as fast as she can to open the door. She could have just given me the keys and I could have done it, but no, that's not how we roll in this family. We've got to do everything the hard way. And when it comes to the actual challenges, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. So finally, she opens the door, I grab the bags, and we're off back running to the car. Once back inside the car, there's my brother and sister, with calculators, working out the first challenge. Or so I thought. It was this insanely stupid math problems that had like 900 plus this and then minus this and then plus that and this plus, right? And we've got the 2 mathematical geniuses of our family working on it. Well, after I don't know how much time, they come up with a total. And it doesn't match any of the answers. Not even close, by the way. Not even close. So then I get my first look at the challenge on paper. And I thought, well, it might be some kind of numerology of some sort. That was a false assumption. It really wasn't. But at the time, I thought, hey, good as answer as any. So I begin to try to decode the numbers. Boy, and that takes some time, I'm telling you. And in the end, it didn't work. It came up with like 19 or something, and that wasn't one of the four possible answers. So I take out the calculator and duplicate the work that my brother and sister were doing. Because obviously these mathematical geniuses in my family couldn't have got it wrong. And I come up with the same total. And I'm like, well, that ain't it. After about 30 or 40 minutes of annoying each other, trying to figure this out. So the only theory I thought was, well, one of the answers was 8. And maybe, because we had 19, says, well, that equals 8 if you minus and take 1 away from 9. So we went with the 8, you know, and you rip the end down, and you get the next clue. And we start looking over it. And my brother Brian, like a light goes off in his head, he finally figures out the last one. After we had took the guess and just decided that this was probably it. And he flips over the calculator. And it says Eloise. Eloise is a former mental hospital not far from here. And that was the first place we had to go to get the first clue, which was going to give us a number so we could rip off the end. But hey, we already guessed at it. We ripped the end. We're on the second clue already. We didn't have to go anywhere. We stayed right at my mom's house, and we're on to the second clue. So there are 8 challenges, and we're so awesome. We're 45 minutes into this. We've already had to guess on the first one. If there was ever an indication on how the night was going to go, the first challenge set the precedence. So here we are. 40 minutes into the rally, we've guessed at the first challenge, and the second challenge offered an even bigger obstacle. More numbers, and the only real math person in the family is me. And I'm blind as a bat, and we're in the dark, in the car. Because we couldn't turn the light on while my sister was driving. She didn't want the light on the inside of the car on while she was driving. It bothered her. So we had to use a flashlight. And I don't know if you're driving around and you're bouncing around, you know, and your flashlight's bouncing and the paper below it's bouncing and they're bouncing in different directions. It's really hard to read. And even at one point, my mother resorted into giving me her glasses. In fact, she did it on even more than one occasion throughout the night. But anyways, we worked and worked and discussed and argued over the second challenge. I kept thinking to myself, why? Why did I come to this? I knew it was going to be a disaster. I didn't want to come. I did not want to come. But the night before, there's my brother texting me.
You going to come? You all in for the challenge?
And then the next morning, there's my sister. She's like,
we're going to be there at 3:30.
And I said, I can't be there at 4:45. What time does it start?
5.
Well, then why the hell we got to be there at 3:30? But hey, whatever. I went, and there I was, doing this road rally thing with my family. And we have no clue whatsoever. Deer in the headlights, baby. So, I don't know, after who knows how long, it all gets quiet up in the front of the car. You see, they stuck the old people, that would be my mother and me, in the back of the car. You see, for this road rally, everybody had a place. Everybody had a job for the night. My sister was the captain. She was Captain Picard for the night for our team. She was in charge of driving as well. That was her job. To tell us what to do and to drive. My brother, who was riding shotgun, was the official cheater. I mean, smartphone user. His job was to use the internet as much as possible so we didn't have to think too much. And he did a great job of that. If it wasn't for him and his smartphone, we'd still be out there as of right now. My mother was the team secretary. She sat behind our team driver, and her job was to write down all the answers and keep track of all the clues in the paperwork. That was her job. And out of everybody in the car, she did her job better than anybody. I sat behind our official cheater, smartphone user. My job was simple. I had to do everything nobody else wanted to do, like jump around with a tissue box on my ass, and running blindly through a dark park, counting benches that I had never been to before, and I couldn't see 5 feet in front of me. It was a great time. So after cheating, accessing Brian's smartphone technology, we found a park where the challenge was to count park benches and then go there. Walking aimlessly through the park. So there I go, walking aimlessly through the park, counting and searching and searching and counting for benches through a park I had never been at, that I couldn't see 5 feet in front of me, and they gave me a flashlight that didn't get but 5 feet. This was going to go over really well. So after walking around for a little while, I decided that 12 was all I was going to count because I couldn't find any more, and I was going to keep walking for another 20 minutes looking for benches. And 12 was one of the answers, possible answers. So I said, hey, 12, that's good. Wrong. I was wrong. Later on, we found out there were 14 benches. And there was this little dark little path that I'd talked to somebody, that if you just went down this dark little path, there were two more benches right there. Yeah. So I go back to the car, which then gives us the next challenge. And boom. There we go. Our official smartphone user was off to the information highway looking up words and related words. Because that was the next challenge. It was to find out related words and use letters from those words to decode an answer for the next challenge. So after I don't know how much time, my mother kindly gives me her glasses again. And without the aid of the smartphone, I had deciphered the code and we were off to our next destination, which was to take a group selfie in front of a Vietnam veteran memorial in Wyandotte. Because that's the place you want to take a selfie at. Could you be any more disrespectful? Let's take a selfie right in front of Vietnam Memorial in Wyandotte. Let's do that, because that's what we want to do. So we get our next clue, which was another form of a code clue, like they've been all night. But this time it was an address. We were pretty sure, because at the bottom of the clue it had a line, and then it gave a street and the city it was in. So we were like, hey, this could be an easy one. And it was like this calendar thing, and it had a little Christmas thing on there, a little Christmas tree, and a little Thanksgiving thing, you know, pumpkin. It had little things like that on there, and you had to fill in these spots with random numbers that didn't repeat. It didn't repeat. You couldn't use a number twice. But we already knew the street, and we knew the city. So off we were going. Our official driver took off. And so while we're driving, I'm there with the flashlight bouncing around. And as we were getting closer, I'm like, this is, you know, one of the possible answers, they were these symbols, musical notes. And as we were getting closer, it dawned on me that there was a place right around Allen Road, right around that, on that road, in that city, that had one of those symbols on their sign. Mind you, we did not solve this puzzle, by the way. We just drove to that place. We knew the road, we knew the city, and by chance, one of the possible answers was a place I frequented because I'm a musician, and it was a musical note. And there's this place that's now out of business called the Musician's Workshop. They used to sponsor some of my work. They had a musical note on their sign, and the sign was still there.
And when we got there, we were right. And bam, we were ready for our next challenge. That was our easiest one yet. Geez, we're getting better at this. We didn't even have to use our official smartphone. And hopefully I'm not boring you out there, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I'm just sick of all the news. The election is over, and I don't want to talk about it. I guess we can talk about Ferguson. I mean, it's bracing for mayhem again. Is that something you want to talk about? Because I really don't. What? Everybody's going to get bent out of shape again? Because the grand jury is going to say there's no case against the police officer? Certain people want this cop lynched. That's all there is to it. Just let's get over it. What? We're supposed to throw a man in jail or you're going to riot. You know, please spare me the drama. All right, folks, I went on a little long there, so we're going to take a quick pause in the action, and when we return, I'll finish up my little family road rally story, and then we'll get into the shooter standoff situation that happened just this past week right here in my hometown. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the John LeBanc Show, right here on Alien X Radio. Bang, bang.
Hello again, my excellent friends. This is Motown Vinny, and I'm here to remind you to listen to my radio show, The Invasion, every Tuesday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Alien X Radio. You can hang out in our chat room, or you can call into the show at 313-444-8919 and make requests like this.
You played those Sabbath songs for my dad, and you played those two Megadeth songs for me, because you know what a Megadeth nerd I am.
Or just voice your opinion on the air like this guy.
Oh, Vinny, you no good!
I've got great music and great stories from all around the world to talk about as well. That's The Invasion with me, Motown Vinny, Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern on Alien X Radio. It'll give you something new to talk about at work on Wednesday, so don't miss it.
The Invasion with Motown Vinny.
Hashtag awesome.
Said no one ever!
And welcome back, friends. You're listening to the fastest hour on radio. Before the break, I was talking about my family road rally. And I don't want you to think I'm being harsh of my family or putting down my family. I love them all very much. I do. But I believe in speaking plainly. If you want PC, then you shouldn't be listening to me. So let's get back into the story. So over the next few challenges, our official smartphone user came up with all the remaining answers via the information highway to all the remaining challenges. Occasionally assisted by our official driver, whom was thoroughly annoyed with me by this point. Oh, she was. You see, she suggested at one point that she
could drop me off at my car.
Which I declined, of course. I'm way too smart for that move. I've fallen for that one before.
Yeah, you know, sure. Just go. Yeah, you know what? Just drop me off.
That's a criminal offense to the driver in chief. That'll put you into the dungeon of ignorance. Mm-hmm. And that entails 6 months of cold and unfriendly contact. So it's best to stay away from that. So finally, we ended up at our last destination, where our driving expert decides to drive through the parking lot, back onto the street, and drive to the Wendy's down the road to go to the bathroom, which by this time, I'm just along for the ride. Not much I can do at this point but listen to Christmas songs and tell my mother what the names of them are. So they come out of Wendy's and we get back to the place, and at last we got there and we could turn in our night's work, or lack of, that is. Then we sat in a booth and ate some Greek food, laughed at each other for coming damn near last and everything, winning only candy bars and lottery tickets. You know, thanks for playing. Everybody has to win something nowadays. then we drop my mom off at home, and that's it. That's my family road rally story. I'll be sure to be busy next time it comes around. All right, folks, I'm going to take this will be a little short segment here. I'm going to take a quick music break, so don't go anywhere. Much, much more coming on the flip side. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the John LeBang Show right here on Alien X Radio.
We had a little excitement in Taylor this past week. We had a shootout standoff about 2.5 miles from my house on Wednesday, Thursday. As soon as I heard about it, I grabbed my camera and I was off to cover it. This event happened around 11:15 p.m. on Wednesday night when police were called to a home on Wick Road where a man at the home and police had a shootout where dozens of shots were fired, according to the police chief. A standoff then soon occurred. In total, more than 30 men and women from different agencies were deployed to confront one 22-year-old gunman. Two armored vehicles, a robot, and snipers were also spotted. The agency forces were in full military gear, just like they were in Boston after a terrorist attack, ladies and gentlemen. armed with assault rifles, pistols, tear gas, and shields. The standoff took place over a 14-hour period, costing the taxpayers untold amounts of tax dollars. The gunman finally surrendered peacefully after several explosions were heard near the home. Probably flash grenades or smoke grenades or something. He was taken to the hospital, treated, and then put into custody. I've done some investigating, and from what I can tell, the police were called to this house several times in the past few weeks over various complaints from neighbors, and the police did nothing. And it came down to this. And the first chance the city and neighboring police agencies got a chance to break out the military gear, they took it. I was there, folks. There was no reason that I could tell that they needed two armored vehicles with 30 plus armed officers of various agencies for one guy. One 22-year-old guy. They probably could have had him starved out in a week. But they used all this gear. They had a robot. They brought in an excavator. They were going to rip down this house if this guy didn't give up. They were going to rip down the house with him in it. And I kept thinking to myself, all this for one guy. And I was filming these guys, and you can look on YouTube. My channel's LeBangerHead. Go on there, and you can see I did two reports on it. And I may put up some raw material where you can see a little more. But these officers, these police, these militarized police, were all walking around cocky with their guns just out. Talk about assault rifles. There were assault rifles all over my town this past week on Wick Road, right next to a Little League ballpark I had played at. Now, this guy was trouble, this 22-year-old. But if the cops would have done their job, they might have been able to arrest this guy without this coming to the exchange of gunfire in a neighborhood near a park where little kids play. And then when the government actually does something, they come out like they're some military contractor. Full force. Military weapons, bulletproof shields, robots. Some people are going to say, why are you criticizing the police? The cops did a good job in the fact that nobody got hurt and they apprehended this guy. Okay? They did a good job. My beef is with the militarization and the flagrant display of it this week in my hometown. But again, I'm going to give the police some credit. From what I understand, they were actually obtaining a search warrant to go in the house, even though they had had an exchange of gunfire. So at least they were trying to follow some protocols. Again, my problem is with the blatant, over-the-top visualization, over-the-top reaction to one 22-year-old gunman when you have 30 people, snipers, robots, armored vehicles. I don't know how many agencies were there, but there were quite a few. I think there were at least 5 agencies that I could tell, and there were probably more than that. And after all the hoopla with the gunman and they apprehending him and they take him off to jail, there's a little congregation of people that knew him, friends, family. I really didn't spend a lot of time with them because I'm not a news whore where I have to be in the face to get those tears and the crying. Actually, I thought I'd show a little respect to this gathering of friends and family of his because they're worried for his safety. Yeah, the guy who's a gunman and all that, but they still love him and have feelings for him. So I feel bad for them. The point I'm making is the real news, the reporters there, you know, the mainstream media that were there. There's this girl, this reporter from Fox 2. She was there. Her name is Erica Erickson. It was an incredible sight watching her. When the family and friends, this little congregation, started walking away when she was trying to get questions out of them, and they were like, it was a no comment situation. They were just trying to walk away. This spoiled brat, Erica Erickson, stomped her foot, and she was like, ah, you could see it in her. You know, she was like, ah, you can't do that to me. And she started chasing him down with the camera guy, getting in their face, trying to get any little comment out of them. And people, yeah, I know you're going to say, that's what a reporter nowadays does. Maybe so, but you're a scumbag. These people don't want to talk to you. They already told you, no, I don't want to talk to you. No is no. When you start getting to that point, this ain't, you know, you're not questioning Barack Obama or some high pollutant guy that caused a crime. You're getting in the face of normal, everyday people who are going through a personal heartbreak at that moment. I mean, have some dignity, some respect. So, with that being said, Erica Erickson, it's been a few weeks since I've nominated and entered somebody into the John LeBang Hall of Fame. Erica Erickson from Fox 2. You are the next inductee into the John LeBang Scumbag Hall of Fame. For being a spoiled little makeup-faced brat, you, Erica Erickson, open a new wing into the John LeBang Show's Hall of Fame.
The News Hack Hall of Fame.
Thank you, Erica, for being just another news hack. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Hey gang, this is Alien Stone stopping by to remind you that my show, Inside the Mothership, lands right here on Alien X Radio every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Tune in for This Day in History, the weird news with Darren Marlar, the wackadoo of the week, of course the Clone Chamber, our featured artist of the week, great music, and much, much more. Just remember that resistance is futile, probing is not allowed, and you will be beamed aboard Inside the Mothership each and every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, only here on Alien X Radio.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. For the remainder of the show, I am going to play you a little sci-fi comedy presentation I created called Majesty 12. So sit back, get some popcorn, and enjoy.
A mysterious burning object lights up the night sky in Southern California. It appears to fall to Earth, but what was it?
Yeah, people from the coast to the OC to the Inland Empire, the mountains, the deserts, and all the way to Vegas and Phoenix saw this thing. Our Dave Bryan is live in the newsroom with the very latest. Dave, what are people saying?
Well, Sharon, there's still no confirmation what that object was, but as we first reported at the top of the newscast, Vandenberg Air Force Base told us the mystery object was not a satellite falling to Earth or any kind of space junk. Whatever it was, many people saw it streak across the sky in Murrieta, Paris, Irvine, Ontario, Riverside, Lake Forest, Corona, and San Clemente. The Federal Aviation Administration and the CHP saw it, too. They contacted the National Weather Service, and our newsroom's been flooded with emails from witnesses who saw that object streaking across the night sky. People describing it as a bright light. Some say it looked like a falling star. Others say it looked like a red comet with a green light around it.
watch me.
Gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the John LeBang Show, where I'm wearing my aluminum foil hat and preparing for the coming alien invasion. So according to reports, people are seeing UFOs in Southern California, Nevada, and Arizona. And Vandenberg Air Force Base confirms it wasn't a satellite or, quote, not any space junk, unquote. People, hundreds and hundreds of sightings of this mysterious object flying across the sky. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get a hold of one of our contributors here on the John LeBang Show. He's out in Eager, Arizona. Maybe he saw something and can give us some details on this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut the monologue short. We're going to try to contact him and we'll be right back. Okay, folks, we're back, and joining us on the phone now is Sir Lord Henry Prick. He's a professor of Illuminatics at the Cooper Institute and a regular contributor here on the John LeBang Show. So, Henry, what is the latest?
John, I can tell you right now that the military has taken over the area. There is a complete media blackout in all the major cities. I am expecting all communications from the area to be cut off shortly. All the major highways have been shut down. As for the reports of the lights in the sky, the military has been very hush-hush about it, but reports coming from the people around here range from a UFO invasion, a zombie apocalypse, to monsters and ghosts.
Did you say zombies and monsters?
I should also note that a state of martial law has been declared. I have personally seen people being rounded up into large FEMA trailers and carted away. Wait a minute. Someone is pounding at my door. This doesn't look good.
Henry, if you need to get out of there, brother, go, all right?
Righto. That's probably a prudent course of action.
We'll be right back.
Boy, where did you come from?
Well, I was just inconspicuously crossing the border at the Mexico there. And when I noticed that I was being followed...
Yep, those damn flying saucers. They killed my bull. My wife's gonna be pissed.
Flying saucers? What do you mean, flying saucers?
Those flying saucers right there, see them? Hey, wait a minute. What do you mean? What flying saucers? Didn't you just tell me that they were following you?
My apologies. I was not talking about the flying saucers.
You weren't?
I was talking about the zombies.
Zombies? What do you mean by zombies?
The zombies over there.
Let's just wait a while, all right? I'm tired.
Yes!
We need a break. Man, it's a good thing I didn't use up all my ammunition on those flying saucers. I'm gonna need it now to kill all those goddamn zombies.
Yes, what are we going to do?
How the hell should I know?
What's that? Dinner.
Hey.
Now that's gotta hurt.
The plan for the destruction of the United States of America and the formation of a socialist totalitarian one world government under the United Nations is contained, ladies and gentlemen, within a set of top secret documents with the title Majesty 12.
Okay, folks, we haven't been able to recontact Mr. Prick, so let's hope he made it out safe. We're going to open up the phone lines to anybody who can give us any information about anything. So, and New York City, you're on the John LeBanc Show.
Someone tell President Obama there's a big flying thing flying around blowing shit up!
Pepper? Pepper, is that you? You're in New York?
I come here on vacation! First the Statue of Liberty was closed, and now the damn flying saucer's blowing shit up! It's big and round, and it's blowing shit up! I ain't never coming back here!
Thanks for your call.
The plan, ladies and gentlemen, for the creation of a socialist world government is protected by an invented extraterrestrial threat from space. The entire UFO phenomenon and the so-called ufology, which I call the ufology movement, has been created to further the protection and activation of this plan. Within Majesty 12 is Operation Majority, which justifies the plan by presenting an extraterrestrial
okay,
threat.
Over to Hazard, Kentucky. What say you?
Oh, he ain't back yet.
Who hasn't been back yet?
That good for nothing nephew of mine, Wilbur. Oh.
Is this Bobby?
Yes, goddammit. He left his mark and worked out in the garden. I heard all kinds of shit flying over the house. And some jackass was firing off a machine gun or something. And he ain't been back since.
You heard things flying over your house and machine guns firing off, and you didn't go out and check on Robert?
God damn it! I was concentrating on not dropping the deuce in my drawer. But I was waiting for his slow ass. It was already hard enough to focus with all that other damn noise going on. And I gotta go!
Okay, thanks for your call.
Kiss my ass!
Let's go to break. We'll be right back.
I'm on my last clip.
Looks like this is the end, my friend.
Fly now.
We need to get moving.
Shit. Anything you say. Let's get out of here. Hey, boy. Where did you come from, anyways?
Well, thank you for saving us. Things were looking pretty bad until you showed up.
Hey, boy. You didn't answer my question.
Look, I saved your ass. If I had to do it again, well, you just have one question to ask yourself now. Do you feel lucky, Mr. Cowboy?
Please, please, gentlemen, things are bad enough. We don't need to make them worse.
There was.
Hey!
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, where the hell have you been? Let's run down today's events. California, Nevada, Arizona, and parts of Texas have been overrun by aliens. To make things worse, legions of brain-dead zombies have overrun New York, Texas, Detroit, and all the nation's major cities. Martial law has been declared across the country. If you can hear this, if anyone can hear this, they're coming.
Look, it's a military base. Maybe they can help us.
Negative. Most likely they have orders to kill anything that approaches.
He's probably right. They're liable to shoot first and ask questions later.
You two, stay here. I'm gonna sneak in.
Sneak in?
Yes. We need weapons and supplies.
You're crazy if you think I'm going to let you go up in there all by yourself. We stand a much better chance if we all just stick together.
Agreed.
Well, I'm not going in. I'm staying right here.
Suit yourself.
if we're not back in an hour, well, let's just hope we're back in an hour.
Goodbye, my friend.
The plan states that if the American people are ever told of this extraterrestrial presence, these aliens will destroy the United States of America.
For yet another hour of the John LeBang Show. Swoosh! Gone in the blink of time. I'd like to express my deepest thanks to all of you who are listening each and every week. I couldn't do it without you. Don't forget to visit my website. That's jlebang.com. And until the vibrations of my vocal cords reach your ears again. This is John LeBang for
Alien S Radio.
I am signing off.
We have a thought.
Tune in again next week. Same time, same space, same station.
Resistance is futile.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
I'm gonna get my butt in the paper when it's just a butt.